Morning. Today's daf in Shkalim is daf Yud Beis. We're behind. We're back on Yud Amud Beis, and we're continuing from the Mishnah. Mishnah described what exactly happens with the monies. We have now what's called the Trumas HaLishka. That's the three-time year that we withdraw from the Lishka, from the treasury, from the treasury house, and then with those money, with the Trumas HaLishka, so that's given the sanctity of Kedushas HaGuf, meaning the money is basically applied towards Karbanos, generally speaking. And then there's all the remaining money on the floor of the Lishka. So that's what's called Shayari HaLishka, the leftovers of the Lishka. So that does not have Kedushas HaGuf, that's Kedushas Damim, again, speaking very simplistically. That's Kedushas Damim, and that is basically used for temple upkeep. That's basically what we learned in the Mishnah. But after that, then the Mishnah got very detailed. The Mishnah then spoke in very specific detail exactly what we would buy with the Trumas HaLishka and what we would buy with the Shayari HaLishka. And then there are two other things to consider. Meaning we may not end up using all the Trumas HaLishka. There might be Moser. So what do we do if there's any surplus of the Trumas HaLishka? So that the Mishnah dealt with. The Mishnah asked the question, what do we do with the, if there's any leftover, if there's any surplus of the Trumas HaLishka? So that the Gemara says we use for plating, gold plating of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Good. What if there's any leftover of the Shayari HaLishka? So that was subject to a major debate back in the Mishnah. Just simply to review the points in the Mishnah, the Mishnah brings down a number of opinions exactly what happens with the Shayari HaLishka, with all the monies that were left over in the Lishka. So the Mishnah says that, generally speaking, all building in the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim was used with the Shayari HaLishka. We're going to talk later this morning about the ramps that were built by the Kohanim that we're going to discuss later on. But according to our Mishnah, according to one opinion, that was used by the ramps were built with the money of the Shayari HaLishka. According to another opinion, the opinion of Abishol, the ramps were constructed by the Kohanim themselves. We'll talk more about that later. And then, what would they use? What would, if there was any leftover money in the Shayari HaLishka? What would they do with it? So this was subject to a debate in our Mishnah. First, the Mishnah brought in the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael says, "Do business with it, make money," meaning you have. There's now surplus money in the Beis HaMikdash. So you know what? Use the money to make money. Invest it. But basically make a business out of it. Buy wine, buy oil, buy flour, sell it at a profit. Make money with it. So Rabbi Akiva says, don't do that. So Rabbi Akiva's line in the Mishnah was, Ein mistakir mishal hektish af lo mishal aniyim. So Rabbi Akiva says that if you have money, funds in an account, either the funds are Beis HaMikdash funds or the funds are funds for the poor, either way, you cannot risk that money. That money cannot be used for any type of business venture because obviously you may make a profit, but at the same time you may engage in a loss. So you cannot use that money, says Rabbi Akiva. We're going to speak more about Rabbi Akiva's opinion later this morning. Fine, we talked about the Moser Truma, fine. There are a couple of other parts of the Mishnah. We'll come back to those parts of the Mishnah later on. Okay, that's what we got up to. We started yesterday with the Gemara. The Gemara just simply, the part of the Gemara that we got through yesterday was just simply identifying the three times in the Torah where there's a requirement to use wool, red wool, and we went through the three times and we pointed out that they don't all cost the same. Good. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. In the Gemara, we are right in the middle of Yud Amud Beis, smack in the middle of the Amud. The Gemara starts now describing other things that would be used from the Trumas HaLishka. So Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, Tamid Chacham HaMalamdim Es Kohanim Hilchos Shechita, Hilchos Kabbalah, Hilchos Rika, Nolin Tzchari Mitrumas HaLishka. So another thing that would be used from Trumas HaLishka would be those people who had to train the Kohanim how to shecht, Mekabel Dam, Zrika, so all that was paid for by the Trumas HaLishka. Okay, so basically the tutors. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ridifa, b'shem Rabbi Amin mevakrim mumikashim notlim tzchorim mitrumas alishka. Other people that would be paid by from the trumas alishka, and those people were the ones inspecting the animals from blemishes to make sure that the animal was blemish free. There was a certain skill, there was a certain knowledge base that one needed to know exactly what was a mum, what wasn't a mum. So they also got paid from the Trumas Alishka. Now again, right? Remember what we said yesterday. Getting paid from the Trumas Alishka, meaning isn't that for carbon? The gear that we have in our Gemara is Trumas Alishka. I mean, that's...
The remainder of Trumas Alishka, which means most probably the...
I know it says Truma. The Gemara, the what we have in the Gemara is Truma Salishka. So again, so it goes back to the idea, yes, as we pointed out yesterday, that doesn't just pay for the carbon, that anything has to do with the carbon as well is paid for from the Truma Salishka. So the learning how to shech the carbon, the examination to make sure that it's blemish free, so that also is paid from the Truma Salishka. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Tancha, Barchia, B'shem Rabbi Simoy, Magia Sefer Azara, Not Linschara, Mitruma Salishka. Those people who were checking Sifrei Torah, right? There was a Sefer Torah in the Azara. So those people checking also received payment from the Trumas Alishka. Now over here, you could suggest that that it's not the Trumas Alishka, right? The Gon over here. Oh yeah? Could be. Okay.
Even though you could say this is Machshira, maybe
not. Yeah. Huh? Right. So it's over the Shal Azara. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. So Mitrumas Alishka, fine. Gidol bar Binyamin Mishim Rabbi Asi Shnei Dayan Gzeos on Schar Mitrumas Alishka. Another group of people who are also going to get paid from communal funds is going to be the Shnei Dayan Gzeos, the two judges of Gzeos. This takes us to the end of Ksuvos, where there the Gemara has a lengthy discussion. But basically, to make a long story short, these are the people who imposed Knas. They were the ones who imposed any type of punitive fines. So they also got paid from communal funds. Shmuel Amar Nashim Haragos Beparochas Nolan Schar Mitrumas Alishka. Shmuel's of the opinion that those women who would be weaving the parochas, right? There was a big parochas separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh, meaning when you walked into the second bais, into the second temple. So they're to get from the main sanctuary to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the inner sanctuary. So to get from one to the other, so you had to pass two curtains. The two curtains were separated. In other words, basically what the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, we're going to describe this in detail in Masechta Yuma, is he would walk into one curtain, walk between the two curtains, and then walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now these two curtains were very long and very large. So the women wove it. How was it paid for? It was paid for by Trumas Alishka. Rav Huna Amar Mitrumas Bedek Abayis, and Rav Huna says, no, this is paid for by Bedek Abayis, meaning we're basically now talking about part of the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash. How was it paid for? So the Gemara brings down a machlokas between the Amoraim. So my palig, Shmuel Avid like a carbon, Rav Huna Avid like a binyan. So the question over here is, these parochas, the curtains, do they have binyan status? So therefore they're paid for by not the Trumas Alishka, but the Shayari Halishka, meaning is it Bedek Abayis fund? Or no, do they have what the Gemara refers to as carbon status? Okay, carbon over here might not be the right word. Instead of carbon, maybe the word kalim should be used. Either way, the point being is that it doesn't have, it's more than just simply part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's necessary as part of the Avoda. It's part of the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and therefore it's paid for by the Trumas Alishka. I'm Rav Chizkiya Tana Rav Yehuda Gad Gedos HaKetores V'chol Karbanos HaSib Rabbi Mitrumas Alishka. If we're talking about Ketores, so that's paid for by the Trumas Alishka, and any carbon sibor is paid by the Trumas Alishka. Ketores we'll talk about later this morning. Mizbeach Hazav V'chol Klei Sharis by Mimos HaNesachim. The Mizbeach Hazav, the golden Mizbeach, that's the one inside the Kodesh, inside the Beis HaMikdash itself. That's the one where the Ketores is burnt on. So that's paid for by Mos HaNesachim, any additional Nesachim. We'll explain that later a little bit later on, exactly what that is. Mizbeach HaOla V'Hech V'Hazar is by Mishayar Elishka. When we're talking about the outer Mizbeach, and for that matter, any part of the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the Hechel, the Azara, so that comes from Shayari Lishka. Chutz Azara is by, by Mishayari Lishka. Chutz Azara is by Melishka's Bedek Abayis. Anything outside the Azara, so that's paid for by the Bedek Abayis fund, which was a more general upkeep fund. So the Gemara now notes we have somewhat of a problem because we have a braisa. The braisa says that the stones of the Mizbeach, the stones of the Heichal, the stones of the Azara, there's a din me'ila, which means that if I use them for my own personal benefit, so I am now violating the Isser of me'ila. The Isser of me'ila, v'chi yesh me'ila b'shayarim, I don't understand. Meaning in the funds that were collected, the truma, the withdrawal, so that has Kedusha Saguf. There's a din of me'ila by those monies. Whatever's left over, that does not have Kedusha Saguf, that only has Kedusha's Damim. So there's a din of me'ila by the Shayarim. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara notes, well, maybe we could say that that's going like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that there's a din of me'ila by the Shayarim. Do you remember Rabbi Meir? This is not the first time we saw the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion. We saw him a couple days ago, where he says that in the event that we've depleted the truma, so we can go back to the shirayim, we can go back to whatever's left over and use that money towards and apply towards carbon. So Rav Meir says that there's a din of me'ila by the shirayim as well. So Amar Rabbi Chiya, Klom Amar Rav Meir, Ela B'toch Shnaso, V'acha Chutz Shnaso Anu Kaiminan. The Gemara says that's a hard answer because Rav Meir only says this idea. That the shayarim have kedusha saguf only during the year itself, but after the year, even Rav Meir will concede that it doesn't have kedusha saguf. So I'm Rav Chizkiya, Tanit Rabbi Yehuda, Gad Gedos, Hashochem V'Amin. I'm sorry. Period. Okay, the Gemara just leaves it off as a question. Okay, which we've seen before. Okay. I'm Rav Chizkiya, Tan Rav Yehuda, Gad Gedos, Hashochem V'Amenor, V'Amizbechos, V'Aparochos, Ma'ak V'Nes HaKarbonos. Okay, good. All right, the discussion coming up now in the Gemara over the next little bit is basically going to be the following. The whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring a carbon, right? In other words, that's the we set everything up for the purpose of carbon, meaning carbon is really, there's a structure to the Beis HaMikdash, and then there's a function to the Beis HaMikdash. So the structure of the Beis HaMikdash we've seen in great detail. The function of the Beis HaMikdash is so that we can operate the Beis HaMikdash so there'll be carbon. The discussion that the Gemara is about to engage in is the following. What's the necessary components? So what's the minimum necessary components that I need in order so that the Beis HaMikdash is functional? Meaning we know with pretty good detail how to build the Beis HaMikdash. But what's absolutely necessary? What is the minimum requirement so that we can offer a carbon? Okay, and a lot of this discussion is going to be very interesting because you're going to see we may not need a whole lot. Meaning it could very well be that all we need to bring a carbon is going to be, you'll be interested to know what the basic requirement is. So here we go. This is now the Gemara engaging in this discussion. I'm just going to go back up a line. I'm Rav Chizkiya, Tana Rav Yehuda, Gad Genios, Hashulchan V'Aminor V'Amizbechos V'Aparochos Ma'akfenes HaKarbon, Divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rav Meir, what do you need? So I need a shulchan, a menorah, a mizbeach. Now, not just one mizbeach, you'll read carefully. Mizbechos, paroches, or ma'akev as a carbon. So basically, according to Rav Meir, I need everything. Basically. Meaning, aside from needing some sort of edifice, I need some sort of structure of the Beit HaMikdash, but I also need the basic furniture. I need shulchan menorah, both mizbeachs, which means the mizbeach in the Kodesh, which is a Mizbeach HaZahav, and the Mizbeach outside, okay, here. Menorah Shulchan, Mizbeach HaZahav, I need the outer Mizbeach, and it's interesting, by the way, it doesn't mention Arun. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Arun. So, but in other words, I need all that, and then I can bring carbon. So basically, according to Rav Meir, you need everything. Chachamim Omrim, Ein lecha ma'akev as a carbon, ela ha-kiyor v'ha-kan, bilvad. Now, in our Gemara, the Gersa we have in our Gemara is the words kiyor v'kan, probably should be corrected. The Gon corrects. The Gon says, take out the word kiyor v'kan, and insert rather, not the Gon, sorry. Yeah, the Gon. Karkov v'keren. Okay, sorry. Yeah, look at the... A lot of corrections. You have to look down at the Gilan Ashas. The Gilan Ashas points out that the Gon changes it to Karkov Vekeren. Essentially, Karkov Vekeren, the band that goes around the Mizbeach, that's a Karkov, and Karen are literally the horns of the Mizbeach. That's just basically the four blocks in the four corners of the Mizbeach. Simply put, according to the Chachamim, what do you need? You need the Mizbeach. Period. That's all you need. In other words, the minimum requirement to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash is just the Mizbeach. I don't need the menorah, the shulchan, the Mizbeach HaZahav. Don't need any of that. All I need is the Mizbeach, the outer Mizbeach. So, V'lo kenam Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Yossi, Bechanina, Trehon, Amrin, Kol Hein Dechsiv Nochach Ma'akev. Sela E Ma'akev. So the Gemara now notes, good. So we just quoted a Braisa. The Braisa here discusses and debates what's the minimum requirement to bring a carbon. According to Rav Meir, I need everything. Shulchan, menorah, both Mizbechos, then and only then can I bring a carbon. According to the Chachamim, no. All I need is a Mizbeach. Now the Gemara notes that there seems to be a debate amongst the Amoraim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chinna, they both say that you have to look in the Torah. There's certain key phrases in the Torah. When the Torah says the words nochach, so it's ma'akev. Now you have to go through the psukim inside. You have to go through Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh and Vayakom Pekudei, and you have to see where the Torah says the words nochach. Okay, just to give it away, it says it by the menorah. So the according to these Amoraim, you need the menorah. Tzela, but if the Torah only says the word tzela, it's Eino Menakev. Where do we have the word tzela? By the side of? So we have it by the Shulchan. Amra Bishmo Bar Nachman Bishem Rabbi Yochan, I'm sorry, Bishem Rabbi Yonasan, V'afil tzela Ma'akev. No, according to this Amora, you need, anytime the Torah says the word tzela, it's Ma'akev, which means I need the menorah and I need the Shulchan. Again, the menorah, the Torah says the words nochach, the Shulchan, the Torah says the word Stella. V'amar Rav Ila b'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman v'afilu Sima Ma'akev. Even if the Torah says the word Sima, so that's going to be a Ma'akev as well. And the Mefarshim say over here that Sima is basically by every one of the pieces of Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning it says Sima by Shulchan and Menorah and by the Mizbeach HaZahav and the outer Mizbeach. Basically, according to this Amar's opinion, you need everything. Okay, here's the problem. The problem is as follows. We just quoted a Braisa. The Braisa brought down a machlok between Rameir and the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, you need everything. Rameir says, nah, you just need the Mizbech Hachitzon. And then you have all these Amoraim who are looking for key words in the Torah. Anochach, Tzela, Sima. Well, what are they arguing about? Meaning, didn't the Chachamim say all you need is the Mizbech Hachitzon? So the Gemara answers, I'm Rabbi Chanina. We're now on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So, kan ba'avodas shebifnin, kan ba'avodas shebechutz. Depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about an outer avoda, meaning a carbon that's brought on the outer mizbech, which is basically most carbonos, so there, we have, that's the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And the Chachamim said, is all you need is an outer mizbech. But when you're talking about avodas shebifnin, avodas that are done inside the heichal, right, certain carbon chattises are offered inside the heichal. The avodah of Yom Kippur is done inside the heichal. So there, that's the machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Whether you need a nochach or a tzela or a sima, whether you need a menorah or a shulchan, and or the mizbeach hazahav. Okay. Good. All right. So discussion in the Gemara. What is the minimum requirement? Right, comes out that according to the Chachamim, if you want to bring a carbon, so you don't need a whole lot. Meaning, a carbon on the outer mizbeach, what do you need? Just the outer mizbeach, that's it. Okay, so, obviously without the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have much to talk about in terms of bringing carbonos nowadays, but, right, one could construct an argument, at least the beginning of an argument, that the very basic requirement that's necessary is an outer mizbeach. Okay, at least that's what it seems like from our Gemara here in Shkalim. Okay, continuing on. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Okay, we are on the very top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We are two lines down. The Gemara now is going to be describing the ramps that were constructed. Remember, our mission described two ramps that were constructed. One ramp was for the Seir Lazazel, on Yom Kippur. So a goat would be sent off the cliff in order to walk the goat from Yerushalayim to the edge of the cliff. I don't know how long a walk it is, and we're going to be discussing in Yuma in detail. But to walk there, so they constructed a ramp. The purpose of the ramp was that basically the person walking, the Ish E.T., that we'd be walking with the goat, would be walking undisturbed by the public. The public were, generally speaking, pushing it along and maybe being a little bit too pushy. So basically what they did, they constructed a ramp so that the person would be walking undisturbed. That was one ramp that was constructed. Another ramp that was constructed was for the Paraduma. Now this ramp had a different purpose. The purpose of the ramp for the Paraduma is to make sure that when walking from wherever the Paraduma was born and raised to the place where the Paraduma was going to be shechted, remember the Paraduma was not shechted in the Beis HaMikdash. It was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, east of the Beis HaMikdash, where it could actually see the Pesach HaBayis. But in order to walk from the place that it was raised to the place that was going to be shechted, a ramp was constructed, and the purpose of the ramp was to make sure that it would not walk over any tumah, so that no tumah would affect the Para Aduma, nor the people involved in doing the Para Aduma. So these were major construction projects, both of these ramps.
Were they permanent?
Oh, so now what the Gemara is going to point out is that every time a Kohen Gadol was involved in the Kevish and the construction of the ramp, so they would build a new ramp. And now this was because, for what reason? So watch, watch where the Gemara is going to take this conversation. Very interesting. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Shachetzitz Gedol Aisa Bivnei Kohanim Gedolim. Shachetzitz doesn't have a good English translation, but basically arrogance, chutzpah, self-aggrandizement. The reason why the Kohen Gadol, the family of the Kohen Gadol would build these ramps is basically to attach their names to these ramps and basically say, hey, look, there's my ramp. So, Sheyosem Mishishim Kikari Zahav Hayimotziyam Ba Shaya Kivsa Shapara Omeid. The Gemara talks about what kind of investment was necessary for this kind of project. Shishim kikari zahav, 60 kikar of gold. I don't know how to translate that into any type of modern currency, but I get the idea. It's a lot of money in order to construct these projects. And meanwhile, shayikivsa shapara ome valaya echer mehem motzi paraso bikivsa shachavero. Never a ramp was reused. Every time a new Kohen Gadol ascended to the position of Kohen Gadol, okay, cause for a new ramp. Right, I'm building my ramp. I'm not using the old, new Kohen Gadol's in town.
Where do you get the money from, though?
Now, one of the prerequisites of being a Kohen Gadol is you have to be wealthy, right? The Gemara in Yuma will talk about this. Gemara in Yuma says that in order to make it to Kohen Gadol, you have to be independently wealthy, and part of the right, and the reason why is so that you're above any type of influence. So you're an independent.
And you need money for the
ramp.
What do you
do with the old ramp?
Unclear. I don't know.
Put in the backyard.
Now, there weren't that many Paradumas, and the Gemara is now going to know that's one question, and the Gemara is going to know another question as well. Ella Sosa Obona Oso Mishelo. Okay, so good. So the Rabbi Chanina says shachatz gedola, meaning that was it was tremendously arrogant on the part of the Kohen Gadol that every time a new Kohen Gadol ascended, he would build himself a new ramp, deconstruct the old ramp, build a new ramp, done. Good. So the Gemara says. So Hedi asks a good question. The Gemara says, and let's be before answering Hedi's question, which we're about to do. Let's ask another question. Heisiv Rabbi Ula Kumei Rabbi Manava Hatini Shemana Tzadik Shtei Parasasola Bekevish Otzia Zehu Otzia Bekevish. I'm sorry. Asa Lo Bekevish Otzia Zu Otzia Edzu Shemana Tzadik. Now Shemana Tzadik. Remember Pirkei Avos. Shemana Tzadik Mishayare Knesset Gedola. He was a remnant of Knesset Gedola, meaning in the construction of the Second Temple, you had the Anshe Knesset Gedola, the men of the Great Assembly, who were comprised of a group of tzaddikim and neviim, and this led us into the Second Temple period. And those were the last of the neviim. After that, there was no longer nevuah. And who was the remnant? Who was one of the survivors, so to say, of the Anshe Knesset Gedola? That Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol. When we get to Yuma, we will be discussing Shimon HaTzadik in detail. But meanwhile, Shimon HaTzadik, just by the name, you know, good guy. Right, it's you can't. I'm just saying you don't go around with the name Shimon HaTzadik if you're not. So Meanwhile, over his lifetime, he brought two paradumas. And meanwhile, over his lifetime, for the two paradumas, so he constructed two different ramps. So the Gemara is going to ask the question very clearly. Islach lamemer shimon atzadik shachatz haya? What, you think he was arrogant? Okay, in other words, the question basically answers itself. He wasn't. And meanwhile, he constructed two ramps. How do you understand this? My kedon, ashem ma'ala hi bepara, silsa hi bepara. So the Gemara says, because of the elevated status regarding the paraduma, right? It's going to be one of our first discussions we're going to deal with when we get to Yuma, and that is that when we came to the paraduma, we went above and beyond what was necessary to be done by the paraduma for reasons which we're going to explain when we get into the beginning of Masechta Yuma. Basically, there's more to the story than just Hidur Mitzvah. When we get to the beginning of Yuma, we're going to discuss it in greater detail. So in the meantime, however, so that could be another explanation in terms of why they kept building new ramps. Certainly that's the explanation for Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, let's not accuse him of being arrogant. The Gemara says that's an absurd accusation. He's Shimon HaTzadik. So the reason why he built an additional ramp, an extra ramp, or not an extra ramp, but a new ramp for the next paraduma is for the purposes of mala, because of our over and above treatment, tahara treatment of the paraduma, for reasons which we're going to explain later in the, I will say in a couple weeks from now. We're going to start Yuma just a couple weeks from now, so when we get there we'll explain that. So the Gemara says, so it doesn't have to be just Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina's overarching, overgeneralization of Shachatzitz Gedola, meaning those Kohen Gadols are so arrogant. Not necessarily. By the way, I don't know if the Gemara is rejecting him. The Gemara is just simply saying, but there could be more to the story. Certainly by Shimon HaTzadik, there's more to the story. Tani, we learned in the Brayta, he's in the Ketana HaYotzu, Mikan HaMikan, Kedei Shelo Yatzu, Yatzitzu, V'Yatzitzu Kohanim, V'Yitame. The Gemara just describes these ramps just in a little more detail, and that is the following. They weren't just ramps to get from point A to point B, but they had railings on the ramp so that the Kohen Gadol couldn't look over the side. Remember, the whole purpose of these ramps is to make sure the Kohen doesn't go over mace, doesn't walk over human remains. So that there's railings now on the ramp, make sure that the Kohen Gadol, or whoever is walking the paraduma from one point to another, is going to be on the straight and narrow and staying on the ramp. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Omer Amos Drakin. Okay. We now turn to an interesting discussion in the Gemara, and that is basically using funds, making business out of funds. Meaning, so we are in charge now of a fund. So what did our Mishnah bring down? A major machlokus between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael says, if there's any excess funds, so what can you do with it? Make a business out of it. Buy some wine, oil, and flour, sell it, turn a profit. Good. So basically, it's a good thing, says Rabbi Yishmael. I have now a fund. I'm growing the fund. Good, good. Rabbi Akiva says, don't do it. Now, the Mishnah doesn't explain why, and we could offer two very simple explanations why. One explanation why, which is going to be, seems to be what our Gemara is worried about, is potential loss. Meaning as much as you can make money, you could also lose money. Right? Hard to control the market. Not hard. Nearly impossible to control the market. Market prices fluctuate. Sometimes they go up, but sometimes they go down. So you're sitting there now with all that flour and oil that you bought with the money, and the price went down, and turns down now you didn't turn a profit, but you actually caused a loss. So the Beis HaMikdash itself could use it, but the whole purpose of, in other words, these were excess funds. We didn't need the money. The Beis HaMikdash was just basically sitting on additional funds. So, but the problem now is that you've, by you venturing into business and you causing a loss, that's obviously not a good thing. That's one possible reason. Another possible reason, which our Gemara doesn't really deal with, but we see this throughout the Gemara, and that is that this is the Beis HaMikdash. To put it in terms which we've used many times before, pasnished. It's in other words, the temple fund shouldn't be playing with it. In other words, even if you're going to make more money for it, but still, it's the money of the Beis HaMikdash. It's just not appropriate, right? Ein anias b'makom ashiras. There we go. That's the expression used not here but elsewhere. That when we're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, it's just not appropriate to take that money and to apply it towards to play with that money. That is all the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Obviously, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Good. The Gemara now is going to point out that according to two things. First of all, according to Rabbi Akiva, not only is this true but regarding funds of the Beis HaMikdash, it's also true if you're in charge of funds of the poor. Meaning that if you have funds of the poor, and right now, for whatever reason, I don't need the money, and the money's just going to sit there, so Rabbi Akiva says, don't play with that money. Don't try to invest that money or make a business out of the money and grow the money, because again, you may grow the money, but you also may lose it in the business venture. That is all the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara now, on this position, Rabbi Akiva, Ela imratza yuyu ha-hefseh shelo v'aschar lehekdesh mutter. So the Gemara says, but what about the following? What if you say the following? I am in charge of the monies. How about this? I'll do business with the money, but I'll also guarantee that if there's a loss incurred because of my management of the money, I will be on the hook. I will be personally on the hook for any money lost. So basically now you are guaranteeing that this is there's a no loss.
No risk.
No, there's right. There's no risk involved in this business venture. So then the Gemara says that's mutter. Now, by the way, it's interesting. That's mutter. You know what that also is? Well, there's another term for that. Huh? Yeah. So it's also ribbis. It's also interest, meaning what happens when I give you money and I say, here's money. Give me back the money 6 months from now. And at no loss, but only profit. That's called charging interest. Right, is it not? Oh, so it's correct. Very good. So in other words, this is not a set interest. So this is what's called ribbis. Set interest is called ribbis katsutsa, which is biblically prohibited. It's also in the Torah. So if it's not set, so it's only rabbinically prohibited. Now, I say only rabbinically prohibited. It's still prohibited. So, all right. So, correct. So, rabbinic, in other words, if something's asur min haTorah, so then there's nothing to talk about. Done. But if it's rabbinically prohibited, so then under certain circumstances it would be okay. And this would be one of those circumstances. Meaning if I have an opportunity, a chance, to take money that for the poor and to grow that money, and I'm assuring that nothing will happen to that money, so this would be one of those circumstances would be okay. Again, that whole discussion which I just engaged in, it's not in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara Bava Metzia has shades of this type of discussion. But here our Gemara just simply says, as long as you guarantee that there's no risk and there's no loss that's going to be suffered, so then it would be okay. And the Gemara points out people did this. Kehada bar zmina. Like this bar zmina. Is Pakid Gabe Midal Diasman. He was in charge of a fund for the poor, for the orphans. Also Vishala Rabbi Mana Marlay in Baisti Hafseditcha Viga de Tarvaichon. If you're ready to A, guarantee that there's no loss, and B, you wanna split the profit, so you shari, so then you could do that. Rabbi Chia Bar Adi's Pakid Midal Diasman Va'avid Kane, and the Gemara points out other Amoraim did this as well. Okay, so according to our Gemara Yerushalmi, if you want to take the money of the poor, invest it, and turn it into a profit, you can, but only if you make sure that you personally guarantee that if there's a loss, so you're going to pay back the fund of the poor.
He would take profit himself too.
That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you could do that. No, we're talking about right now funds of the poor. Funds of Hekdesh, right, you may be right, but funds of the poor, so you want to take that money and invest it and split the profit, you can. Remember, you're also assuring the loss. Right. The Gemara says you can. Okay. Moser Peros. Okay, now. That's what the Gemara says. Right? Va'agra de Tarvaichon, the Gemara says, that the profit's going to go to the two of you, meaning the fund will get part of the profit and you'll get part of the profit. Right? Why not? Meaning, if you're the one who's going to be assuring the loss,
not losing anything.
Right? So the base, so they're not. So the fund is not going to lose anything, and all you're going to do now is take that money and try to make a profit out of it. That's good. I'd venture to guess. I'm guessing correct. I'm guessing, however, that this only would work as long as you have the means of guaranteeing.
Right.
Meaning, if you just say I'm guaranteeing, but you don't have any means of doing so, I mean, what good is your word? I mean. Okay.
I'm just doing that with some fun of my granddaughter. Yeah. Invested. That's a guarantee that, you know, guarantee the principal.
Right. Okay, moving on in the Gemara now. We're finishing up the Mishnah. The Mishnah then goes on to discuss what's called Moser Peros, which is kind of if you look back, go back to Yudam and Beis and look at the end of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shmuel Amar Moser Peros, Ketzam Mizbech, Moser Truma Klisharis. What happens to Moser Peros? Moser Peros, what are we talking about? What is that? It's not clear from the Mishnah. So, but Rabbi Yishmael says, but whatever it is, it's another stream of revenue. And if you get it, so it goes towards Karbanos. And Moser Truma, and if there's any Truma left over, Klisharis, it goes to Klisharis. Rabbi Kiva says, Moser Truma, Ketzam Mizbech, Moser Nesachim, Klisharis. And then there's another term used in the Mishnah, which is Moser Nesachim. So again, I can ask this very simple question. What's that? Whatever it is, it's used to buy Kli Sharis. And Rabbi Chanin is going to call on him, Omer Moser Nesachim, Ketzam Mizbech, Moser Truma, Kli Sharis. And Rabbi Chanina, who is a deputy to the Kohanim, he says that the Moser Nesachim goes to Ketzam Mizbech, and Moser Truma goes to Kli Sharis. Zevizeh, key line of the Mishnah, last words of the Mishnah, Zevizeh, lo yu modim beperos, but they would not agree to peros. Okay, period. Okay, we go back to the Gemara now. We're in the Gemara in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots, and the Gemara is going to ask a really simple question. What is Moser Peros? What are we talking about? So, the Masisin, the Rabbi Yishmalhi, the Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Pater Masisin, Moser Peros, Chala Hektish, Moser Nesachim, Zusa, Revius. So, our first explanation in the Mishnah is that Moser Peros, you know what that is? That's the investment. Meaning, remember, Rabbi Shmuel says that you're allowed to invest the money of Hektish into a business venture in order to make money. So when the Mishnah says Moser Peros, you know what it's talking about? That's talking about the profit that you generated from the business venture. That's what the Mishnah means. And who is that going like? It's going like Rabbi Shmuel. Fine. Because according to Rabbi Akiva,
you can't do it.
So according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no such stream of revenue. That stream of revenue only exists according to Rabbi Shmuel. So that's one way to understand our Mishnah, which, as the Gemara is going to point out, it's an excellent way to understand the Mishnah. Because look at that last line of the Mishnah. What does the last line of the Mishnah say? Zevizelo hayumodim beperos. Him and him. Meaning, who's him and him? Meaning, the last two Tanaim of the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanin is Gana Kohanim, they don't agree to this idea of peros. Good. So it's a very good way to understand the Mishnah. Rav Yochanan, however, is going to depart from the simple understanding of the Mishnah. Rav Yochanan, Pater Masisan, Moser Peros, Zusa'a Revius. No, Moser Peros is something called Sa'a Revius. Let me explain what that is. Even though it's, by the way, I just read that a line ago in the Mishnah, and I didn't explain it then, but, okay, but give me a chance. Let me explain it now. What is Sa'a Revius? So it basically means like this. As we've discussed already a number of times, contracting with the base of Mikdash is a Zechus. What a merit to have to engage in a business with the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's a zechus. It may not work to your financial advantage, but it's an unbelievable zechus. So let's say you contract with them, so the prices are set at the beginning of the year. So now let's say you're contracting, you're going to be supplying the oil to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. Beis HaMikdash is in a constant need of oil, and you're going to be the supplier. And now you have a contract with the Beis HaMikdash. That's beautiful. What if the price of oil goes up? Okay, in other words, they now cost more. So you, the supplier, you contract it. You're locked into a price. You have to supply at the original contracted price. What if the price of oil goes down? So now oil is cheaper. So now you, the one who contracted, you cannot get your original contracted price. You have to be supplying now at the lower price. Okay, that's your zechus.
Agreed, okay,
don't turn to me for business advice, but I agree with you. Okay, so now there's a chance every year, doesn't have to happen, but there's a chance that there's a new stream of revenue for the Beis HaMikdash. And that is that if the price of oil goes down, so now the Beis HaMikdash is going to be receiving more oil than it originally contracted with. So that's going to be another stream of revenue. That's what's called Sa'a Revius, the fourth Sa'a. Right? The Mishnah is just using a fourth Sa'a as an example. But basically it means that prices went down and now more than what was originally expected to get. So that's another stream of revenue. And there's another stream of revenue called Moser Nesachim. Moser Nesachim is as follows. When the Beis HaMikdash measures an amount to the Beis HaMikdash, so the measurement is not leveled off, but rather a little bit is extra is heaped up on top. What does the Beis HaMikdash do with that little bit of extra? Level off, another stream of revenue. Okay? More to the Beis HaMikdash.
They collected it.
Yeah, they collected it, sold it, and this is now another stream of revenue for the Beis HaMikdash. Moser Nesachim LeBirutzim. So that is how Rav Yochanan understands our Mishnah. Meaning when our Mishnah talks about Moser Peros, it doesn't mean the business that we went into with the excess funds. It means the Sa'ar Revius. It means the heaping pile on the top. Fine. V'leisa l'Rabbi Chia bar Yosef l'Berutz and Amr Rav Chizkia ma d'nafal l'Sa'ar Revius. Nafal l'Berutzin. And what about Rav Chia bar Yosef? Meaning, how does he explain our Mishnah in the context of these two extra streams of revenue? Very simple. Meaning what was mentioned in Moser Nesachim includes Sa'ar Revius and the additional heaping on the top. Al dated the Rabbi Chia bar Yosef Nicha in Mistrakim Bishal Hektish Aflo Bishal Aniyim Lefichach Zevzeh Lo Hayimodim Mepeiros. The Gemara now notes the first explanation of the Mishnah, the ones that belongs to Rabbi Chia bar Yosef, perfect. Meaning because look at the last line of the Mishnah. Last line of the Mishnah says Zevzeh Lo Hayimodim Mepeiros. Good. That's exactly how he understands it, but Al Dati the Rabbi Yochanan Kashya. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand. What does it mean? Zev zelo ayumodim beperos. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Peros is not the investment money. Peros is the Sa'ar Revius, which everyone agrees exists. So the Gemara says, "Va'atanin and amdu migimel yisapik medal v'tanin and zev zelo ayumodim beperos lo ayumodim beperos beketz lamizbech avamodim hayu bekli shareis." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe what the Mishnah means over there is that what they don't agree to, it's not that they don't agree to Peros. Of course they agree to Peros. Assuming Peros is a reference to the Sa'ar Revius. What they don't agree to is what's done with the money. Meaning, as opposed to some who are of the opinion that it goes to Ketz HaMizbeach, no, he says that the money goes to Kli Sharis. Okay. Ad kedom berutz etzi barfi afilo berutz yachid v'lo nimsu Kli Sharis by Mishal Yachid. So the Gemara says, now, Now I understand if the suppliers are supplying for the communal funds, for the communal offerings, and there's heapings on top. So the Gemara says, I understand. We could take that extra additional flour, oil, wine, and use it to generate additional revenue. But the Gemara wonders if it's an individual giving oil or wine, I could take the extra on top and use that as another revenue stream for communal funds. So the Gemara says, the Gemara's answer is, yes, we could. Because remember, as long as an individual makes sure that he totally gives it over to the community, so then there's a possibility for a private donation to be used for communal funds. Much like the mother of the Kohen Gadol, who made the begad for her son, who made the begadim for her son. She, as long as she gives it over to the community, that would be fine. Ad kedun berutzei lach v'afilu berutzei yavish kai detanin and taman hanasachan shekasha bekliv v'nimsa ha'zevach pasol im yesham zevach acher yikrivu imo v'im lav lanu yufsalu belina. Could there possibly be a difference between dry heapings versus liquid heapings? Now, this can be very involved, and I do not want to get too involved in what could possibly be the difference versus dry versus liquid. And the Gemara basically says, it's not totally clear, if I may be honest, how the Gemara answers that question, but the Gemara basically says, no, there's not going to be a difference between dry versus liquid. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and it's not totally clear what the Gemara, how the Gemara is answering that distinction. Okay. Ad kam, we end off this portion of the Gemara, now we start with the next Mishnah. Okay, the next Mishnah, you say your kabbanos in the morning? Okay, let me not go to every person and ask if they say their kabbanos in the morning. Because the first person I would need to ask, of course, is myself, right? I'd have to look in the mirror, and I'm not sure if I would like what I see, but okay, anyway, but if you say your kabbanos in the morning, so you know, there's a big section in the morning of kabbanos that I dedicate to the Ketores. Okay, so here's what you would know already. Just a quick introduction to the Ketores. You would know that the Ketores is offered daily a mana of it. It's a weight. It's offered of it daily and divided. Half of it was offered in the morning. Half of it was offered in the afternoon. And this was the Ketores that was burnt daily in the Beis HaMikdash. It was burnt on the inner Mizbech, like we already described earlier, on the Mizbech HaZahav. And it was prepared only one time a year. So in other words, for the year, we would prepare for the entire year. So that was obviously a large production of Ketores in the beginning of the year that would be used year-round. Now, I understand that we operate with a lunar calendar and a lunar year, but right now, let's ignore the lunar calendar. Okay? Let's just go with the solar calendar because that's a nice fixed number. So how many days are there in a solar calendar? 365. Okay? So how many mana would they prepare for in the beginning of the year? So 365. Not correct. Ben's correct. They would prepare 368 in the beginning of the year. 368, why? Because in addition to the daily mana that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, they would also need three additional mana. Why three additional mana? Because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would take his two hands, dip it into the Ketores, so that when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would have now a handful of Ketores. Now, of the three additional mana that was every year, how much would a handful take? Not a whole lot. Well, first of all, it really depends on the Kohen Gadol and the size of his hands. But generally speaking, not a whole lot. So of that three, he would take maybe another half of a mana. Maybe. So the truth of the matter is at the end of the year, we would be left over with, let's say, three. Okay, just for the purposes of illustration. It's less than three, but let's just say three mana by the end of the year. Good. So now, we would have, after 1 year, three mana. After 2 years, six mana. After 3 years, nine mana. You get the point? In other words, there's going to be extra. You now understand when you say your Ketores in the morning, Tanya Rabbi Nassan Omer. I'm not reading from the Gemara. I'm reading from the Siddur, which is actually quoting a Braisa. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Kishu Shochek Omer Hadeke Teve Teve Adek Mimnei Shakol Yafel Abisamim. Okay, you gotta talk it through as you grind it. Pitma Lechatzayin Ksher Leshlisha Revia Lo Shamanu. So and what can we make a half a batch? Gemara says yes, you can. Can I make a third of the batch or a quarter of the batch? The Gemara says, I don't know. So, the
next paragraph is about when it stays 60 or 70
years. Yeah, here we go. Tanya bar Kapar Omer, Achas l'shishim o l'shivim shana, haisa ba'al shal shirayim l'chatzayin. And bar Kapara says that about every 60 to 70 years, so we would half the amount. Okay? Now you say that in the morning during your karbanot, during your ketores, and now, what is that talking about? Now we know. Because at the end of every year, you would have three additional mana. And with those three additional mana, what would happen? So multiply that 60 years over, 60 years of three additional mana, that would get you about 180 extra mana. Well, how much did we need for the year? We needed 368. So now, after 60 to 70 years, you now have you have about half that amount. So about every 60 to 70 years, we would only need to half the recipe in the beginning of the year. Good. That's so
they kept rolling it over and adding to okay. 65 a year?
Yep. So now that we got all that, so now I'm just setting us up for tomorrow. What's the problem? The problem is very simple. Remember, this year's carbon steeper can only be bought from this year's money. It can't be bought from last year's money. So how am I rolling over the additional three mana every year when that three mana was last year's money? 2 years from now, that'll be 2 years ago money. So in other words, so basically what we're going to be discussing is an accounting issue of how am I going to be using last year's Ketores, using it for this year's money? That's the accounting dilemma. So tomorrow we open up with accounting. Okay, we start with the Mishnah tomorrow.